That's a lot of people. South Australians gamble at risky levels. And for every one of those, another 3 to 6 people are affected, family primarily. Harms experienced by gamblers and loved ones. Well, there's obviously financial harm, damage to relationships. There's emotional, psychological distress, poor health, cultural harm, issues with work and study and criminal activity even. And sometimes people don't recognise they're suffering the harm until it's too late. And a full-blown crisis underway. And then how do you get out of that type of lifestyle and habit, particularly with gambling? So a Gambling Harm Ahead campaign has been launched to take public health approach and look at minimising gambling harm. Joining me here in the studio, Rory Spreckley, who's manager for the Office for Problem Gambling, working in the SA government for some years, a background assisting disadvantaged and vulnerable communities, the Office for Problem Gambling, responsible for the Gamblers Rehabilitation Fund, administering that, which provides help services, programs and initiatives of the sort we're going to talk about today. Rory, good morning to you.
Good morning, Matthew.
And on the line, we've got Andrew, who is what we call lived experience, a person who has been through the addiction of gambling. Andrew, good morning to you.
Good morning, Matthew.
Thank you both for your time today. Rory, let's start with you. Tell us about the Gambling Harm Ahead campaign.
So Gambling Harm Ahead campaign is a specific campaign we've designed to better help South Australians recognise those early signs of gambling harm. We designed it and lived in conjunction with people who have a lived experience of gambling harm. And the end result is the campaign, which has 4 key messages. Mm. One around financial stress as an early sign of gambling harm. The other one is gambling alone. And the other two are chasing losses and borrowing to bet. And they're 4 early signs that people told us they wish they recognised sooner and they wish they acted on sooner. The other part of the campaign is, when we've received really good feedback on, is a radio ad, which mimics Siri, the sat-nav.
Oh, yeah.
And talks about the journey people go on. So up ahead, they might see the chasing losses sign, and further down the road, they see the borrowing to bet. But importantly, it's really important that South Australians recognise they can exit that journey and they can get help, and that help is free, confidential and available right across the state.
Is it easy to do, though? I mean, you say exit the journey, but it must be so difficult to get people to take that left turn off that road.
Look, turn. We're told that, yeah, exactly, and Andrew, you know, can speak about that better than me, but we know. What we do know is that when people do make that decision, the help works.
Okay.
It really does work, and people's lives drastically improve.
Yeah, how about that? Andrew, what do you make of Gambling Harm Ahead campaign?
Well, when I look at it, I analyse it a little bit, and it's just like, I just recall when I was on the road of gambling and in serious gambling, I seem to be on this highway that it seems to just be going express down to the bottomless pit of where I ended up. Mm. And the more I think about this program that's there, you know, the signs are out there to come to warn me to slow down, to stop and to think about what's happening and to turn off and to get help.
Yeah.
And for me, I wish that I could pick up the signs a bit better when I had my own problem gambling, then rather than have a looking at this program now and think, geez, if people are on the spiral that I was on, they can just stop and think about what harm they're causing themselves and others. I think it's a brilliant program.
What was your addiction, Andrew, if I can ask? Was it pokies? Was it, you know, the horses? Was it 2 flies crawling up a wall? Anything and everything? What got you in?
No, the only thing I got addicted to big time was pokie machines.
Yeah.
I could bet on other things if I wanted to, and it didn't affect me whatsoever, but the pokie machines was the ones that, just really, really affected me. I was hook, line and sinker.
Gee, and was it the lights, the sounds? I mean, we hear that those things can trigger an addiction or an inclination to play.
Yeah, some of it was the lights and sounds. I know I tried at some point to put headphones in to block out the sound, but I wanted to listen to the sounds.
Mm.
But it was more the rush of the wind. It was more of I've pressed the button and all of a sudden there's this large wind that's come up. And it was that sort of rush, that dopamine rush that I got by doing that. That was the thing that really, really got me hooked in.
Amazing. That's not good, is it? So obviously knowing those signs. Rory, why is it important to run this campaign? I mean, there's a little bit of a story from Andrew there, but that would be the crux of it, I suppose, is to help people that are that badly hooked in.
Exactly. We've done some really good research around South Australians' awareness of those early signs and awareness of help services. And, you know, for example, while South Australians have a good understanding of the financial harms of gambling, they don't have such a good understanding around, you know, relationship, physical health harms, or, you know, even emotional, you know, being in a bad mood after missing the quaddie at Caulfield on the weekend, for example. The other thing we know is awareness of our help services is really low, and that's part of the campaign is really wanting to promote that help is available. 65% of South Australians, only 65% of South Australians know about the gambling helpline, 1-800-858-858. It's a helpline that's 24/7, free, confidential, and, you know, there's less awareness for other sorts of things, like we've got our website, Gambling Help Online, or even just our face-to-face gambling help services where people can go sit down with a counsellor. Only 40% of South Australians know about that.
Really?
So that's really why, you know, one, recognising those early signs, and two, knowing you can get help. That's what the campaign's all about.
I'm interested in hearing that it's 24/7. I know about the fact there is a helpline, but I didn't realise it was 24/7. Is that in case somebody at 3 a.m. says, I'm going to go to the pub, help me, essentially?
Look, that's exactly right.
Yeah?
A lot of their phone calls are in those wee hours of the morning, and, you know, people can get help really quickly via that phone line. It, just like Lifeline, you know, they're very, very trained professional people, and they can talk to you in that moment, and importantly further down the track follow up with you and refer you to one of those face-to-face counselling sessions or other types of treatment that might suit them.
Okay. Andrew, what signs did you wish you'd seen on the way through?
Well, the main sign I wish I would have seen was borrowing. I was starting to borrow to bet, and I was gambling alone, which is something they've always done. Mm. And I know that's one of the signs that they've put out. There's a lot of people, especially with sports betting, will gamble in groups and then go home and gamble alone on their phones on sports. But when it comes to borrowing to bet, I've become very creative on how I borrow to bet. And, I got caught out with that. But it was something that I should have picked up straight away, that this is a bad thing for me, that I was borrowing and I had to find a way to pay back what I borrowed. So I borrowed to pay back what I borrowed so I could borrow some more to go on to gamble again. And I wish I'd picked up that sign.
Do you think deep down you knew that, but, you know, you were just pushing it off to a side?
Yes, absolutely. Mm. I totally agree with that. I just didn't want to face up to the fact that I actually had a gambling addiction. And I think a lot of people are the same. They just don't want to stop and analyse and see that they do have an addiction, whether it's gambling or to other things, and are embarrassed to find help or ask for help. And that was me.
Yeah, yeah. What consultation, Rory, did you undertake for the campaign?
So, yeah, the campaign is sort of designed with really good evidence basis behind it. And in South Australia, we're putting gambling harm minimisation in a public health approach, and that's where the leading and world's best practice sits. So this campaign echoes that approach. And so we designed it and went away and thought about how can we better help people recognise those early signs, and road signs was something that came out really, really quickly. And we took a sort of much earlier, the campaign a bit more in its infancy, to people like Andrew and a group of other people who have lived experience of gambling harm, and said to them, what do you think? Do these signs speak to you? Do the imagery speak to you? And what about the ad? And we received some absolutely fantastic feedback. And I know I've said thank you, Andrew, before, but I'll just say it again. Thank you so much. Because the feedback that those people with the lived experience gave us, was, invaluable and has created this much better product. And so we'll see how it goes over the next couple of weeks and come back to people like Andrew and see what we've learnt from that as well.
So the Gambling Harm Ahead campaign, does it go through stages where, you know, the first road sign, I mean, is it in an order that, that you've worked out is best suited for people?
Look, no, but we know these four signs are really common amongst the journey that people have when they experience gambling harm, and the radio ad goes through that kind of journey.
Because I imagine everyone's journey is different.
Everyone's journey is different, but, you know, these four early signs are really, really good indicators that you may well be experiencing gambling harm and you need to reconsider your journey. And you know, there's two really simple questions people can ask themselves about their gambling. The first one is, well, can you afford it? And if you can't afford it, there's a good chance you're experiencing gambling harm. And I know that's sometimes a little bit harder for people to recognize. But the second one is your gambling no longer fun? If your gambling is no longer fun, I guarantee that person will be experiencing gambling harm.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way of looking at it. What was the turning point for you, Andrew?
Turning point for me, I eventually got caught stealing money from an employer, and I knew then it was time that I just had to stop and face my demons properly, and then sought help from counsellors as well as other people with lived experience issues with problem gambling, and I was able to talk to a lot of those people, and they're still, a lot of them are still my good friends today, where we're able to share our own lived experiences and support one another through our own recovery.
Yeah. Is it hard to talk about? I mean, I've asked you questions about sights and sounds of poker machines, for instance. Does clearly now that must not trigger a response in you that makes you think, oh, I really missed that, I got to go and play it. You must be beyond that now, obviously. I mean, you wouldn't be doing this otherwise. So how is getting over something like that?
It is still very difficult, and there's still things that I can't do. I don't trust myself with my own debit card, and I thank technology every day for things like Apple Pay, that I don't physically have to carry my own debit card and don't have to carry cash.
Yeah.
So I don't trust myself with cash. I do think about going to the venues from time to time, but I limit myself by not carrying my debit card, so I can't really go to a venue anymore until such times as they put tap and go on a machine. Then I've got to rethink my strategies a bit.
Yeah.
But no, certainly there are days where you start feeling down and the triggers still keep coming back where you go, okay, I feel like I've got to do this again just to help myself. But then you realize the journey that you've been down, and you realize that you have support groups around you to talk to people about, I'm feeling down, I feel like I'm going to go and gamble again. And just to have someone to talk to, you don't even need to talk out your problems or anything like that. Sometimes it's just having some people around you to talk to, and you go, yeah, I feel a lot better now. It's not a daily struggle, but after 2017, so 6 years, 6.5 years, still even after 6.5 years, sometimes you do get that craving to go back.
Wow, that's unreal. So, okay, let me ask you the personal question. So what have you lost? I mean, clearly money, potentially your job if you're caught stealing. I mean, it's really impacted your life big time. Probably relationships too, I imagine.
Yeah, all three of those. I'm very, very lucky that I've got a strong core group of friends that could see past the addiction and see the real me. I count myself very blessed with that. I count myself very blessed that I've worked hard to get into a position in life now where I'm not playing the machines every day, and I'm not, you know, I know the thoughts do come back, but I'm not thinking about when can I go back and play a machine again. I've studied, we'll talk about lived experience, I've studied my to be a peer support worker. I do struggle to find employment with that because the funding's not there from the government to agencies to have more people with lived experience talk to people. But I do volunteer with Relationships Australia. They have what they call a lived experience and gambling harm program. where they have trained speakers like myself go out to industry or to schools or to mental health first aid courses or anyone really that, you know, they feel that a group of people might be beneficial to hear from someone like me, my own gambling story.
Yeah.
And we're very happy to go out and tell our own lived experience stories to anybody, really, that feels that a group of people would benefit from listening to us.
What advice do you give them? What do you say to people who are going through that sort of journey at the moment?
Advice is, I give no advice out whatsoever. I encourage people to look at their own situations in life. I encourage people to reach out to services like the Gambling Helpline, Relationships Australia, other places that help people with gambling issues. And the gambling might be a secondary issue as well. It might be a first issue that what's causing the gambling. It could be a multitude of things, from work stress, the family stress, the financial stress, as you were talking about earlier today on your program with health and with health and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Speak to the GP. You know, you've got to, well, there are people there that want to hold your hand and help you through, but you're the one that has to want to change, and you're the one that has to drive that change. So I do encourage people to, they want to change, find those supports that are out there for you, and with their help, start turning your life around.
Yeah, Andrew, thank you for your honesty. Look, Tyson has called in. He's got a gambling story himself from Clarence Gardens. Tyson, good morning.
Good morning, Matthew. Good morning, boys. Yeah, there was a couple of times I blew my whole paycheck at the pokies trying to chase the $700 that I won the week before. If I did it then, I can do it again, you know. And it wasn't until the publican actually told me, you can bar yourself for 3 months. And I thought, oh, great, I'll do that. And then when we sat down and actually filled out the forms, you can bar yourself from every single pub in town. You can bar yourself from the casino, anywhere there's pokies. If you go in there, they're all motion detective cameras, you'll get a $5,000 fine if you walk into the pokies.
Gee, after you ban yourself.
Yeah. Yep, so I banned myself for 3 months. After that 3 months finished, the publican said, do you want to keep going? I said, yep. And she's like, well, we can do it indefinitely. Okay. You're banned from pokies forever. And I said, yes. I signed the form. So if I get caught, I get a $5,000 fine.
All right. Interesting. Good on you, Tyson. Thank you for that. Well, that's one way of dealing with it. Andrew, thank you once again for having a chat today. Really appreciate that. Rory, how long's the campaign going to run for?
So we're going to run it... Gambling Home Awareness Week was last week. We're going to run it for a couple more weeks, well into November. And we've received such good feedback on the campaign that I think, you know, we'll see it again out in the media. And you'll certainly see more coming from the Office of Problem Gambling in relation to these sorts of things.
Do you think those slogans that we've seen in the past, like gamble responsibly at the end of an ad, that seemed to be an endorsement more than a don't do this? I like the more current ones that say, think of what you're gambling with and win some, lose more, which is exactly sums up gambling to me.
Yeah, that gamble responsibly tag, to be fair, sort of became universally recognised as a bit of a cop-out.
Yeah.
And that's from right across, you know, the sector, including the gambling industry itself. And those new messages, compulsory warning messages that the federal government has designed and we contributed to in South Australia, certainly much more confronting, I think. The black and the white. And really looking forward to see the evaluation of that, because I know the federal government are looking doing that, so that's something we'll be looking at in South Australia.
If people need assistance, give us that gambling helpline again.
1-800-858-858. And please, you know, remember it's 24/7. You can call any time, and trained professionals can speak to you, you know, almost instantly. It's free, it's confidential, and like I said earlier, we do know it is hard for people to reach out to help, but I can say that when people do, the help really does work.
Yeah, indeed. Appreciate your time today, you and Andrew. Rory Spreckley, who is the manager of Office for Problem Gambling, has worked with the government there for some years, and Andrew, with lived experience, helping other people.